Hello, good evening and welcome everyone to this Stafford Borough Council Planning Committee meeting. My name is Brendan McKeown and I will be chairing this meeting this evening. If you have a mobile phone with you, can I ask you to switch it on to silent or switch it off, either of which. The meeting will be recorded and will be available on the Borough Council website in due course. I'll remind anyone who speaks that we do not enjoy the same privileges as our compatriots in Westminster, and I'm sure you know what that means. All applications will be decided on the information presented before you and will be in accordance with the development plan and the national planning policy framework. Members of the public who wish to speak will have 3 minutes and we'll give you a nod when you're 2 minutes into that, and ward members will get 5 minutes. So I think I've said everything I need to say, and we shall go through the agenda. Minutes
of the meeting is held on the 22nd of June, Mr. Chairman.
Accepted?
Yeah.
Thank you. Any apologies this evening?
Yes, Chairman. Apologies from Councillor Brian Cross, who is substituted by Councillor Roy Jones, and apologies also from Councillor Marnie Phillips, who hasn't appointed a substitute.
Thank you. Does anyone have an interest to declare, or any lobbying that they've been subjected to?
Councillor Jones has got his hand up.
Councillor Jones? Peter Jones.
Yes, I've been lobbied.
You have been lobbied, then. Okay, thank you.
And I'll be speaking as board member on item number one, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so you will not take part in the voting.
Correct.
Sorry, Chairman, Councillor Peter Jones, he did tell me he was lobbied on the second matter, the former legal in car park. So just for the minute,
Okay. Thank you,
Pardon.
Yes.
Sorry, so first item on the agenda is planning application 23/37093, Labour in Vain Pub at Yarnfield.
Jess?
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. The location plan shows the extent of the site outlined in red. Application site relates to a site located on the existing car park of the Labour in Vain public house in Yarnfield. The next slide shows an aerial view of the application site. The site is bounded by residential development to the north, east and west, and to the southwest of the site lies the Labour in Vain public house, and to the south is Yarnfield Lane with residential development beyond. The existing vehicular access is on the southeastern boundary of the site. The photo plan shows the location of the following photos. Image 1 is looking south towards the residential development on the opposite side of Yarnfield Lane. Image 2 is looking southeast towards the existing access of Yarnfield Lane. Image 3 and 4 are looking east towards the existing residential development. Image 5 is looking north towards the existing residential development. Image 6 is looking east towards the existing boundary treatments to the site and the protected trees. Image 7 is looking northeast across the site. Image 8 is looking east across the site. Image 9 is looking north towards the residential development to the rear of the site. Image 10 is looking west across the site. Image 11 is looking west towards the Labour in Vain pub, and image 12 is looking south towards the existing residential development. Plan 1 shows the proposed site plan and the location plan. The application seeks to gain outline planning permission for 3 new dwellings at the application site, with matters of access to be approved under this application. Matters of scale, landscaping, layout and appearance are to be reserved. Since the committee paper was published, we've received 4 representations of objection, 1 from the parish council and 3 neighbouring dwellings. No additional material planning considerations were raised within these over and above what has already been addressed within the published report. The application site within the Yarnfield settlement boundary lies within the Yarnfield settlement boundary and as such falls within the sustainable settlement hierarchy within the plan for Stafford Borough. As such, residential development is considered to be acceptable in principle in this location, subject to other material considerations being satisfied. As this application is for outline planning permission, no precise details of the layout, appearance, scale or landscaping are provided under this application. Yarnfield Lane has no prevailing architectural style or character, and the street scene comprises a number of commercial properties alongside residential properties, including the adjacent Labouring Vein public house. Given that the site is set back 33 metres from Yarnfield Lane, behind Yarnfield Cottage, there is no prevailing... It is not considered that the proposed development would harm the Yarnfield Lane street scene. No details of the external appearance of the dwellings or the scale of the dwellings has been provided, but it appears from the indicative drawings that the dwellings are intended to be two-storey, which is considered appropriate for this location. Although the site is bounded by a number of residential developments, it has been adequately demonstrated that the proposed development complies with the separation distances within Guideline 6 of the Design SPD, and the indicative layout also details that sufficient private amenity space can be provided within the site to comply with Guideline 3 of the SPD. Environmental Health Officer raises no objection to the proposal, and there would be no alterations to the existing access into the site. The site is located on the existing pub car park of the Labouring Vein, and the existing site has 46 car parking spaces. As per the local plan, car parking standards, the public house requires 15 spaces for the 60 covers within the establishment. This would leave 5 additional spaces for staff members of the pub, which exceeds what is required under Appendix B. 6 spaces would also be provided for the new dwellings, which complies with the car parking standards for dwelling houses of this scale. And the local highway authority have raised no objections to the proposal. There are a number of TPO trees at the application site, but the tree officer raises no objection to the proposal subject to the conditions set out within the report. In June 2023, the Labouring Vein was designated as an asset of community value. It is noted that the public house would not be lost as a result of this application, and as such, the pub would be protected. Thank you.
Thank you, Jess. Thank you. I think we have a speaker, Mr. John Fraser, who wishes to speak in objection to the application.
Thank you.
Settle down and let us know when you're ready.
Thank you.
And then we'll give you a nod when you're 2 minutes in or thereabouts.
Thank you very much. Good evening, committee. My name's John Fraser. I'm Mr. Clark of Yarnfield and Coldmeads Parish Council. Parish Council's principal concern is that the application will affect traffic safety on Yarnfield Lane and the surrounding areas because of the reduction in size of the car park for the Labouring Vein. The planning application describes the pub as a wet-led community pub, and it anticipates that patrons would principally come on foot. The application goes on to say it is not a pub that is likely to be a destination eatery and is not of a size or shape to make this type of offer of any meaningful value. However, Enterprise Inns, when they're advertising the Labouring Vein as it's currently vacant, advertise it as a pub which is a large and prominent pub with a trading area comprising bar, lounge and separate restaurant, and having a good sized and well equipped trade kitchen that can support a full traditional menu. This is completely at odds with the description that's being used to propose the planning application and therefore the size of the car park that would be required. The revised layout submitted by the applicant shows parking for 20 spaces will be retained within the pub. The applicant believes there is ample space on the road that can be safely used to accommodate any overspill from the pub. The County Council has now approved double yellow line parking restrictions on Yarnfield Lane and Highlows Lane in the vicinity of the pub. The car park standard set out in the adopted local plan requires no traffic hazard or nuisance should be caused, and that restaurants and cafes must have 1 space per 5 metres square or 4 seats and dining area and bar. The provision of 20 spaces fails to take account of the space required for the domestic premises over the pub, which would account for 2 spaces, and assumes only 2 members of staff.
1 minute, Mr. Fraser.
It also fails to take account of patrons who would be not seated at the bar but standing. The plan deposited by the applicant, which was prepared in May 2023, shows a parking requirement of 32 spaces, not 20. The Highway Authority has wrongly included parking spaces for the proposed houses in their assessment of the pub car park. The applicant has chosen to use a standard of one space for four seats, as this provides a lower figure of parking. We believe this fails to take account of the real demand for parking, which I have already spoken about, and that a one space per 5 metre square standard should be applied, which would require a minimum of 32 spaces. The development, if it is allowed, will have a significant impact on parking available to the pub, which will lead to traffic hazards and nuisance in the surrounding areas, and for this reason, we believe the application should be refused.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Do you want to answer any of those at this point? No, not yet. Not there. Okay. Ward member, Mr. George
H. Speaking on the application.
Oh, sorry, you're not. Sorry. You're going to speak.
Chairman, just to say, we didn't have anyone registered as a supporter. Can we just check that there isn't anybody? No. Yeah. Not for the pub, no.
So, cool. Sorry. Councillor James, then? Do you want to speak as a ward member?
No one supporting.
No. Not.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. You have 5 minutes.
Right. I originally called on this application because I wanted the committee to look at the impact of the surrounding area, the visual amenity, the development density and the parking issues. But if I discount all of the first three on the basis that what this application is a blank canvas with the possibility of building some houses in the future at some date, or not, as the case may be. So I'd address mainly my concerns on the parking issues. And depending on which document you look at, right, the number of parking spaces is considerably less than what they say. There is in fact about 12 parking spaces. If you take out the 6 for the 3 dwellings, and how are you going to make absolutely sure that those are going to be used just by the residents? And then you take out the 4 that are needed for the employees, that leaves you with 12 parking spaces. You've got 15 tables, 4 people per table, that's 60 people. Worst case scenario, 60 cars. Where are they going to park? You've only got room for 12. Unacceptable, totally and utterly unacceptable. Yarnfield is a key service village and as such has facilities and amenities in it. We've got a shop, we've got a post office, we've got a community centre, we've got a village hall and we've got a local pub. Now all of that cements the community together, and if you take the pub and take all those parking spaces and all the traffic that's going to be parking outside, you're only going to annihilate the community. Another point I'd just like to raise is that plan does not show any parking facilities for disabled people. So you can take another 2 spaces out of that equation straight away. So you're now down to 10 spaces. And if you want 2 parking spaces for disabled people, that takes you down to 8 spaces. And I suggest that 8 spaces for the pub is totally and utterly unacceptable. So we've mentioned, or in the application has mentioned, the charging units, EV charging. How many? It doesn't say. I think it's just 1. Is that going to be enough, looking at the modern vehicles now being produced and purchased by people? I suggest that's probably not enough. And are these houses, when they are developed, are they going to have charging points in them anyway? So on those basis, on major the basis is the community, all the assets for the community, the glue that holds that community together, and then you're going to ruin it by putting a load of cars all over the place. Where are they going to stay? They're just going to upset the whole thing.
You have more time if you want it.
I think I'll just confer with my colleague. Yeah, the traffic flow down Yarnfield Lane is approximately 60 vehicles per hour, both ways. So that's 120 vehicle movements. Now a lot of those, all right, if there's a pub there, all right, will either A, use the pub, or B, be inconvenienced because of all the traffic. If you go and look at, or go and visit the Fitzherbert in Swinnerton,
on a Saturday, on a Friday and a Saturday, you can understand what the problems are going to be if people are going to park on the Arnfield Lane.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's it. Take any responses?
See if anybody's got any questions.
Okay. Who wants to go first? Councillor Kenny.
Yeah, just car parking space numbers. On the screen there, I see that there are six identified for the houses developments, and then, if I'm correct, there still remains 20.
Yes, that's correct.
So there's still 20 spaces not including those six identified. And just one more question. When it was registered as a community asset, did it include the car park? Was it identified as the car park as well?
Yes.
So that is part of the community asset then?
It is. However, the designation of the pub as a community asset for community value is not a material planning consideration.
Thank you. Anyone? Councillor Jones.
Is the commercial on the continuing commercial viability of the premises, the public house, a planning issue?
I don't think it is. I think that's true, isn't it?
No, you're looking at the use, and the point is with this that you're talking about a part of the site, so you're talking about part of the car park only, you're not talking about the...
I think I agree with the ward member that you need to look at the premises as a whole, not just the pub, but the facilities around it, including the car park. And that this application obviously has a significant effect on that, which I think anybody would see as a threat to its community, a threat to its continuity. And I tend to agree that pubs of this nature in the middle of a village are extremely important, and I would be very much against anything that damages the viability stroke continuity of such an operation. In my mind, I would be heavily influenced by that argument. I think that the argument about parking is right, but I think that anything that puts the viability at risk, and it's difficult to read this application without coming to the conclusion that there would be an increased risk to the viability, is something that should be discouraged. And I know this is an outline application, but if outline is approved, then you're opening the door to a process. And I think, as far as Yarnfield is concerned, I think that process should be discouraged. I would vote against this application. So,
I think there's no proposal to demolish the pub at this point in time.
No, sorry, Chairman, I know there isn't, but I think that it's not difficult to see a process whereby, I think the pub is closed now, is it not? That it could diminish the amenities within the village in an already difficult situation.
I've just got a legal input here.
With the greatest of respect to Councillor Jones, I think he's sketching out possibilities that he can see, but of course with a planning application of this nature, you need more than that. You need evidence on viability, and also you need you must also bear in mind that the Highways Authority have not made objections that relate to parking. Just a note of caution there.
Okay.
Chairman, I think with outline applications, there's a danger because they're general, but there is a key to starting a process, which has inevitably got a detailed application forthcoming if it is approved. And I think it's sensible to recognise that and to take and to anticipate the problems that could be created. And I think village communities are very, very important, and I think that we, as a planning committee, we shouldn't take any action that prejudices any way the cohesion of a community. I live in a community myself, and in a small village, and the importance of the local hostelry is extremely important. Less to me these days than it used to be, but nevertheless, I think I'm told that they still represent a value.
Councillor Spencer.
The pub is currently closed. How long is it been closed for?
2018.
For information.
It closed during COVID. It reopened and closed. It is closed. The latest closures came in around Christmas last year.
So presumably when that event makes the presumptions are difficult, that it's commercially maybe struggling. Do we have any sort of data on the amount of vehicle movements that were coming in and out of that pub prior to the sort of application?
No.
I mean, we can't sort of go back in time and do it.
Okay, I was wondering if the highways are taken into that to account, and they don't seem to have any objections.
No. Any more want to speak? Councillor Kenny?
One more question. With regards to other employment lands need to be advertised for, I think it's 2 years at the moment, if they are rendered not in use anymore. Does this apply to a public house that's
Has there been any evidence of advertising it as a going concern?
I don't know about the pub itself. Do you, Jeff? I don't. But now it has been designated as an asset of community value. That does mean that if it is put up for sale, that the village would be offered to purchase it, I believe.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just aware of other employment land.
I don't think
if it's rendered not as employment land anymore, they have to prove that they've tried to sell it off as employment land for 2 years.
I think the difference here is obviously the pub is being retained. This application is not proposing to lose the pub. We're looking at the loss of part of the car park. And I think, in response to some of the issues that have been raised regarding parking, obviously the Highway Authority have looked at this and they are happy with the amount of car parking that's to be retained for the pub and for the housing.
For information, is this?
I was just going to say, Mr. Chairman, that they are actually advertising for tenants at the moment for the pub.
So hopefully to reopen. Okay. Which is still available for that to happen, irrespective of this application. Any more speakers? Right, okay, well.
We need a proposal and seconded, don't we?
Yes, we do. It is recommended for approval. It is in outline form only. Councillor Spencer?
I propose for approval.
Approval. Anyone want to second that?
Well, Councillor Reid.
Councillor Reid. So, we'll take a vote on that.
Yep.
All those who support the proposal, please show.
One, two, three, four. Against.
One, two,
abstentions. That's carried, Mr. Chairman.
So that's a permit.
Recommended. Thank you.
Page 17, next, the Eagle Inn, or the former Eagle Inn.
Right. Next application is number 21/35138, Reserved Matters. Former Eagle Inn car park, Newport Road, Eccleshaw. who's going to do the presentation.
This is an application on the former Eagle Inn car park in Eccleshaw. We've got the Red Edge plan showing here, which you can see the site is edged in red and it sits just west of the development known as Spring Hollow, the site with the access off the Newport Road. The aerial view again shows the site in relation to the Spring Hollow development adjacent and the main Newport Road to Eccleshaw. We've got five photographs of the site. Photograph one is looking south towards the site, so you can just see the edge and elevation of one of the properties in Spring Hollow just to the left of the photograph. Photograph two shows the corner of Spring Hollow and Newport Road, so the site is effectively kind of round the bend that you can see on the picture. Photograph three is looking north across the development site. Again, you can see the development in the background, which is within Spring Hollow. You can see the end elevation at the top end of the site with the two windows, which is number 18 Spring Hollow, and the rear elevations of numbers 15 and 16. Photograph four, again, another image of the site looking south and the access, and just another view looking across the site, again looking at the backdrop of the development behind the application site. So the application site is within the settlement boundary for Eccleshaw, and the principle of development has already been established by an outline permission which was permitted in 2020. This permission approved access only, so this is a reserve matters application which is seeking approval of appearance, landscaping, layout and scale of development. So permission is sought for two detached dwellings facing the Newport Road, both comprising four bedrooms. The dwellings, proposed dwellings, are 2.5 stories in height, each has a driveway, turning area, parking spaces and garden. Just pulled up plan number one, which shows the an existing site plan and the proposed site plan. You can see the position of the two dwellings within the site. Also shows their associated driveway and parking. So the site is situated close to the actual conservation area, but it does not fall within the conservation area. You may have noted within the officer report that the conservation officer initially raised concerns to the proposal primarily on the basis of the size of the dwellings. Amended plans have been received which have reduced the scale of the proposed dwellings, and whilst the conservation officer has maintained her objection, it's considered that the scale of the dwellings are now acceptable having regard to the backdrop of Spring Hollow. So plan three obviously shows the floor plans and the elevations of the proposed dwellings. It's worth noting that there's no principal windows at first floor level to either dwelling. Plan four shows the street scene elevation. You'll note that the height of the proposed dwellings on the bottom of the two street scenes there, they sit comfortably with the development that's existing to the rear and to the side. The ridge height of the proposed dwellings will not be higher than any of those surrounding the site, and a condition has been recommended for the submission of floor levels in order to demonstrate that the proposed dwellings won't exceed the height of 14 and 15 Spring Hollow, situated immediately to the rear of the site. Adequate garden and parking space is provided for each dwelling. Given the scale of the dwellings, a condition is recommended to remove permitted development rights to control any further extensions the application is recommended for approval subject to conditions.
Thanks, Sean, thank you. Two speakers on this, one for, one against. Going with the one against, first of all, that would be Karen Dowden.
Yeah.
You have 3 minutes, let us know when you're ready.
Okay, so my name's Karen and I strongly object to this planning application. Essentially, I've come to talk on behalf of everyone in Spring Hollow who's against it, and a lot of people have subjected their objections. Primarily because of lots of light, view and privacy on the land. If I owned that land, I would build on it too. I get it, that's what we do. But my strong objection is the sheer height, scale and mass and density on there. They're both large executive houses. And I think your plans need revising because the height of the houses will dwarf my house. Mine is a two-storey house. And the plans are based on the elevation from one Newport Road and not on the other houses. It will dwarf my house. You know, I have raised that several times. And also the thing to consider is that the house, one of the houses will be sited at least 6 foot higher than the other one because the road is on a hill and those are not taken into consideration either. As I say, if I owned the property, the land, I would build on it. But it is against the prevailing character of the whole village. Eccleshaw itself doesn't really need any more large executive houses. If you looked on the other plans, you would see that there was an identical size land on the other side of the road on which a bungalow was built. And in order to keep in line with the character of the village, you know, a bungalow or two bungalows on that site would be much, much better than some large executive houses. This particular builder has already built some of these houses identical in the village, and that they are enormous, big houses. And if you look at the site, you'll see it's a tiny car park that used to belong to the pub, and they will without a doubt be detrimental to everyone who lives in Spring Hollow and around it.
You have one more minute.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've pretty much said what I want to say. The character, I mean, we've got a large building of a proposed garden village in which there'll be about 500 houses built locally before long. So we really don't need any more large executive houses in the centre of Eccleshaw because you're just filling in the smaller spaces and destroying the character of what is just a beautiful village. And just ruining the lives of the other people that live in Spring Hollow. And, you know, I get it, build on it, but build something appropriate, not too large, enormous executive houses that we do not need.
Thank you very much, thank you. We also have a speaker in favour, Steve Darcy, that's you?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, just you have 3 minutes too.
Thank you. Just worth noting you've put on site plans of the houses from the previous revision. The current proposals are smaller than what was shown on Rev G on drawing 01, which is the site plan.
And that one?
Yeah, that's what we have to see. So the footprint has been reduced in the front. Protrusion or porch has been pulled right back in the latest one.
I'm not sure what's happened there.
Carry on talking.
So, this reserved matters application was validated December 2021 following outline approval of two new detached dwellings. This approval shows two detached dwellings in the same location with two vehicular access drives throughout the open park road. Vehicular access, turning, parking and egress was all approved as part of the original application.
If you could speak up a little please, could you try and pick you up on the microphone here?
Yes, okay. Since the application was validated, there have been numerous minor amendments resulting in the reduction in the size of the dwellings. Proposals are now supported by Staffordborough Council have been acceptable and we've also agreed specifications for high quality materials as part of those discussions. The existing site which sits outside the conservation area, comprises currently an on-site car park formed from loose stone and with rear back garden fences as the backdrop. It has a long frontage onto Newport Road, which is a primary route into Eccleshall, and the proposed dwellings will provide attractive frontages along that Newport Road. The proposed dwellings are appropriate to context, a setback from the highway by around 7 metres, which is a similar distance to the adjacent dwellings between the development and Spring Hollow. Proposed dwellings are also similar in height, scale and massing to adjacent dwellings, and they accord with all space about dwelling standards. All rear facing windows are obscure for additional privacy, and they are windows to bathrooms and stairways. Proposed eaves and ridge heights are 5 and 9 metres respectively, which is around 0.5 metres lower and adjacent to the new dwellings and consistent with the dwellings in the vicinity. The space between the dwellings and plot sizes varies substantially along Horsefair and Newport Road, but the proposed development is appropriate and sits well within this range. The proposed dwellings are therefore appropriate in appearance and provide attractive and much improved frontages onto this principal approach in selection.
Okay, thank you very much, thank you. Councillor Kenny?
Yeah, I mean, if this is the case that we haven't got the correct drawings here,
well, that was,
I feel that we need to defer this to another time.
Perhaps we have to hear from the ward member first, and then maybe let the officers come back.
You okay with that? Yeah. So, Councillor Peter Jones, are you sitting as a committee member or as a ward
member? A committee member, yes.
Okay.
But
I'd
love to speak.
You like to speak?
Yes, I had a conversation with Councillor Jones before, and he was at pains to explain to me that he hasn't predetermined the matter in any way. The call-in reflects concerns raised to him by local residents and aren't his own views. He's listening to the debate today.
Can I just ask a question? I'm looking at the conservation officer's report. Two reports. One where he's fully in favour of it, one where he's dead against it. I thought what's been said is that there aren't many changes from one to the other. I just wonder what changes were so dramatic that he's gone from using the words, disproportionate height and so on. And yet now he's saying it's wonderful. I wondered what had happened.
So the floor area of the proposed dwellings was reduced, the height was reduced. I think it does state within the report that we received amended plans which reduced the overall scale of the two dwellings. And they were reduced to a point that we felt were acceptable.
Is there a difference between...
Yeah, are the plans available to look at?
What Mr. Darcy said, it's different to what is before us tonight. Is there some significant difference?
I think what he's saying is that this site plan, which is I can see is revision C, and I've just checked, it's stated as revision C on condition 2, is incorrect. Are you saying it should be revision D?
I've got revision G here. Correspondence with the council.
And also, can I just point out that the revision is essentially you've made them narrower by 45 centimetres and shorter by 25. A couple of bricks.
There were a number of revisions to this proposal during the course of the application. Obviously, we've had the application for some time, so I think the comments that the case officer made within her report saying it had been reduced by those amounts were the latest. Reductions. There have been reductions prior to that. There have been reductions prior to that reduction.
Okay. Councillor Kenny?
Can I just have some clarification here? Is Councillor Jones now speaking as ward member? Of which part of this meeting are we at the moment?
He's speaking as committee member.
He's just
spoken first.
Don't have an opinion. I'm just passing.
So you're not taking your 5 minutes to talk as a ward member?
No.
Okay. So therefore, I'd like to propose that we defer this to a later date when we have the appropriate and correct drawings.
Do you want a second now?
Second. We've got 2 seconds. I think that's a reasonable proposal. So proposed by Councillor Kenny, seconded by Councillor James, to defer this until we have the correct information before us. Take a vote. All those in favour of deferment?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so that's unanimous, Mr Chairman.
Mr Chairman, sorry, adding on to that, just reading something else, it says that the inn itself does not have any car parking within its curtilage, but does benefit from a reasonable size of car park adjacent to it. The pub doesn't have a car park.
It doesn't belong to the pub.
It doesn't belong to the pub.
How far away is the car park? Adjacent.
Okay,
former Eagle Inn car park. So
it's what you said?
Former Eagle Inn car park, so it obviously doesn't belong to the pub anymore.
Mm. So we've decided to defer that, Councillor. The next one.
Can we also have some clarification on the height of these buildings? Because one person saying they're higher and another person saying they're not higher.
So
it is on page 19.
If I can just refer you to the suggested conditions, you'll see that in condition number 6, there is a requirement for details of the finished floor levels, ridge, eaves height to be submitted, and that they should demonstrate that the height of the proposed dwelling would not exceed those of Spring Hollow.
Yeah, we saw that on the plan, didn't we? Anyway, you've made your decision to defer.
So, if it's been deferred and coming back to the committee, I'd appreciate clarification of where the conservation officer stands, because I agree that I find it confusing. At the end of reading it, I came to the conclusion that the conservation officer objected to this.
So she has objected. Her comments should be at the end of the report under the consultation section. But I think it is worth noting that the site isn't in the conservation area. It's fairly close to it, but it's not actually within the conservation area.
But as a conservation officer, sorry, Chairman, as a conservation officer, she was objecting to the proposal. Yeah.
Initially, yes.
Well, initially or
no? Her objection is maintained.
That's how I read it.
Yeah.
So.
And I find it very. If we're considering this, we've
made our decision, so we'll move on to the next application, if we may. Thank you. The next application is 22/36889, 14 Byron Close in Stafford, called into the committee previously by Councillor Kemp, and now Councillor Nixon, Louise Nixon and Councillor Reid have left it called in. So let's have a look at the presentation.
Thank you, Chair. The location plan shown on the screen shows the extent of the site outlined in red. This application relates to a site located within the front garden of 14 Byron Close. The next slide shows an aerial view of the application site, and the site is bounded by residential development on all sides, and the site is accessed off Byron Close. The photo plan shows the location of the following photos. Image 1 is looking west towards the development. Image 2 is looking southwest towards the development, and image 3, 4, and 5 show the street scene of Byron Close. Plan 1 shows the location plan. Plan 2 shows the proposed site plan. Plan 3 shows the floor plan. And plans 4, 5, 6, and 7 show the elevations of the application. The application seeks to gain retrospective planning permission for an outbuilding in the front garden of 14 Byron Close. The site is located within the Stafford settlement boundary. The outbuilding is a highly prominent form of development, and given that it is sited within the front garden area of the application property, and in close proximity to the intersection of Byron Close and Douglas Road West, the outbuilding is an unduly prominent and discordant feature that has a negative impact on the character of the street scene and the local area, the development would not result in harm to residential amenity of the adjacent neighbouring dwellings and would not implicate parking on site. However, due to its prominent sighting forward of the front elevation of the application property, as well as its unacceptable appearance through application of incongruous and jarring external materials, the outbuilding as constructed is an unacceptable form of development that has an unacceptable impact on the character of the street scene and the surrounding area. It is recommended that this application is refused.
Thank you very much. We have a supporter for this application, Mr. Daskalescu. Is that right?
Yeah, that's perfect.
I appreciate that English is not your first language, so you know, take your time.
Thank you very much.
Good to go.
Good evening to everyone. I am the owner of this shed on 14 Byron Close. One of the two objections raised by the councillor was over intensification of the front garden. I have a large front garden which contains no other amenities other than the shed I have erected. I will ask you to reconsider if it's over intensification. They described the shed as highly prominent when they had acknowledged that I remained within accepted planning dimensions. Furthermore, when I started to build the shed, I followed all the requirements in terms of height and garden space area. I understand and respect policy N1 of the TPSB. However, I disagree and I will ask you to reconsider and reevaluate the planning officer's recommendations. Furthermore, I consider the adjectives used to describe the shed as unsightly, unduly, and jarring as factually incorrect and overstatement designed to persuade the committee to support their recommendation. The shed is constructed of sustainable oak-colored wood and is in keeping in terms of material and appearance with other properties on Byron Close, surrounding area, and many British residential street scenes. I dispute, according to the report from you, the orange color is unacceptable. I want to tell you that it's the natural wood color, in my case oak, as many more other sheds or wood fences in my close vicinity. There is one shed exactly the same color on the next street to mine. Regarding the shingles, they are of a red color. To be more precise, it's the brick color, like all the houses made of bricks in my neighborhood, and not red pink as stated. Regarding the door and window being white, I on a personal note, I think it's ridiculous. Many houses have one color and the doors and the windows are white. All of my neighbors on my street like this shed and consider to be a welcome addition to the character and appearance of the street and the surrounding neighborhood. I refer you to the 11 written statements that I have them with me, which have been submitted to me. I reiterate, none of them object to the color, position, or the character of this shed. I will change, if needed, the color or put high hedges around it to camouflage the shed. There are already some trees in my garden on the north elevation that cover the shed, and it is very difficult to notice it from Douglas Road West. This is a photo from now. I erected this shed prompted by the post-COVID change in working conditions that have affected many UK citizens. My intention was to provide extra storage and the possibility of home working for me and my wife, as other space was not available in the house or rear garden. I would ask you to consider the employability and mental health well-being benefits to me and my family. Same. On a personal note, I had only 8 days to prepare my case and 3-4 minutes to speak in favor of this shed. I have been kept in the dark from the beginning without any official emails. The case officer and the planning officer had more than 6 months to prepare almost everything. It is a temporary construction made of wood and fit perfectly in the neighborhood. It improved the aspect of our neighborhood and it's not detracting from the area. In conclusion, I will ask you to reflect objectively that the purpose and use erecting this shed outweighs being rejected on the basis of aesthetics. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to represent myself today.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Do ward members wish to speak? Or no? No? Yes? Councillor? No, you're not going to speak.
Could I speak?
If you take the chair there and we'll listen to what you have to say. This is highly highly inappropriate, but as it's a well respected former councillor.
Members may be I think it's very strange that it was called in for over intensification of the site and also the change of the street scene. The sad thing about this is that no one in Byron Close complained. It was complained by two people who live further along Douglas Road West who noticed it on passing by and spoke to me. And as the local councillor, if somebody says they want to object to it, then I have to do according to the law, call it in. The strange thing is that the only person that's, and it's in the minutes of the committee, the only person that replied to the letter that was sent out was the person who lived next door to him, who in actual fact supported his application. And I have to say this to you, because I can't pronounce his name. didn't mention that in this area there are a number of caravans that are sitting in front of the properties and haven't moved for years, and yet he goes out and buys a nice summer room and two people decide to object, and that's why it's in front of you, to give him the opportunity to make it his case.
Yeah, he's done that. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Is there any chance to add something or not?
I'll just open up any conversation.
Chairman, how long has it been there?
When was it erected? Do we know?
I don't know actually.
It was last year in November, end of November. I wrote a note to the council and I said I didn't want to break any law or anything. I tried to follow.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Councillor Rees.
Yeah, I noticed that your rear garden is not as big as
it's
your front garden.
It's not. That's the only reason.
Through the chair.
Why
through, the, through, through the chair. Questions the chair.
Through the chair. I just wanted to clarify. I suspected that was the reason why
The only reason.
The only reason
I didn't have.
Councillor Tony Nixon. I'd like to clarify something here. People shouldn't put sheds in the front garden. We know this. Running from the front wall of the house. If we approved this, would that open the floodgates to anybody who wanted to put a shed in their front garden?
It would set a precedent.
That's my only concern.
Anyone else want to speak?
No.
I think you've had your chance and Jack has spoken well.
Councillor Reid has a hand up.
Councillor Reid.
Is it just a query really? If there has been any consideration of something that the architect mentioned, which was mitigating the appearance of the shed with hedging.
I think the problem is, through you, Chairman, is that you're dealing with it as it is, so as is usual in the case, you're dealing with the application before you, so imagining how it might be different or could be different isn't really helpful to determining the actual application you got today.
Yeah, so it's Councillor Spencer.
Well,
in response to Councillor Reader, conditions could be placed potentially to do that, though, could they not?
But it's already there, isn't it? We have to decide what's there before us.
Yeah, but we've decided on previous application, we've placed in conditions where we felt it was passable if certain conditions were allowed.
It is possible to add a condition to, not necessarily just for this, but to screen a development, if that's what you're asking. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have another question. I know there's a concern Councillor Nixon said about, you know, sheds and front gardens and so forth, but I mean, would you say this is a front garden? Would you class it more as a side? Yes, it's on the front, but it's not in front of the actual property itself. So it wouldn't be set in a pleasant for people to book sheds in front of the house, because it's actually a side garden as such. If this was hedged, fully hedged,
it's still to the front of the property, though. Mm. I mean, you can see.
But if you have a house that has got a long frontage, and there's a house on one end of that, and they put a shed further along that frontage but behind a hedge, I'm pretty sure no one would.
But that's not what we're dealing with.
True, but I'm just trying to put this into. I'm trying to think context of what we're looking at.
If you look, it is quite close to the road as well. But I mean, it's not a particularly deep frontage to the front garden. It is close to the road. It is in a very prominent position.
Okay.
And it is forward of the main front elevation of the house.
Right. Councillor Roy James.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, one of the if you like, litmus paper for these applications is to demonstrate harm. You can't, this application does not demonstrate any harm whatsoever. And given that there's been no objections from the neighbours, I can't see any reason why you can't just allow this to stand. I'd be against refusing the application. In other words, I would allow it to go ahead.
Is that what you're proposing?
I am proposing that.
Chairman, can I just ask there aren't any neighbours complaining now. What if in 2 weeks' time somebody moves in down the street and complains about it?
Yeah,
we say tough then? I don't have any objection.
If a decision's been made by that point, then it is what it is. But I think it's a pretty valid point that was made about, you know, it potentially setting a precedent. We wouldn't normally want to support outbuildings and front gardens, particularly where they're in such a prominent position and so close to the road. So if we were to approve this, then it could potentially make it difficult further down the line for similar applications to be refused.
Certainly in Byron Close.
But if you go down the A449 from Stafford through to Rising Brook and look to your right, you will find garages built forward of the building line.
Garages that have been built after the house was built. You do often see garages forward of houses.
So what's the difference about having this forward of the house?
I think the issue with this is it is just in a very, very prominent position forward of the house. It's not a garage, is it? I mean, we're not looking at a garage. This is a completely different proposal.
Highly colourful as well.
Yes.
I think it was Councillor Kenny next.
Yeah, if this was considered an office or workspace, and not as a shed, would this be permissible? I asked the question because recently I recall that we had a shed or similar sort of type of building built in the front garden that was used for a barber's, which didn't meet refusal in the end. It was given permission. So if this was a place of employment or an office space, would it be treated different as a shed?
Every
application is looked at on its merits, and the situation and street scene of every application differs. So we are looking at this one on the merits and on its own merits, and we're also looking at the street scene of Byron Close. And I think it's fair to say there isn't anything else in that immediate area of that size or scale, or in front gardens, or in such close proximity to the road.
I just asked a question because it was mentioned about setting the precedent of putting sheds in front gardens. Probably already have one.
Chairman, that's more or less what I was going to say. What Sian's covered. I mean, it's not terribly helpful to your planning decision in this case to talk about another one somewhere else in a completely different street, because you're looking at the impact of this, and it was mentioned by Councillor James. There's no harm mentioned, but of course, if you look on page 31, the first reason for refusal is the officers find that it's unacceptable appearance, incongruous and jarring external materials, unacceptable formal development, has an unacceptable impact on character of the street scene and surrounding areas. So that's the harm that's been put forward as the reason for refusal. But it's not like a general blanket rule on are sheds allowed in the front garden or not. You need to look at the individual context and the planning powers.
That's fair enough. It's just that statement was made and never clarified it.
Councillor Spencer, oh sorry, Councillor Reeves, and then Councillor Spencer.
Yeah, I think the applicant also mentions that this had been erected in connection with some work, the possibility of work employment, and that still to what Kenny is saying that. So the erection of this particular building is in response to that need, and I can understand why it's been done, and also the neighbourhood that it sits within. And it's interesting that neighbours haven't objected. I in fact find it acceptable, and perhaps it's to do with the affordability of a building like that in that locality. That in the context of a different area where there's more money, where people have perhaps more money to make the appearance of a building with that purpose, to make the appearance more acceptable to planning. Yeah, I'd just like to say that really, that I can see why that this has been built and for that purpose.
Can we just come back on planning on that one?
Can I just come back to you on that? Within the officer report, and I know this was clarified with the applicant just before the report was finalised and the agenda was printed, and the applicant did clarify at that time that it's currently empty and the potential future use was a storage or a summer house for the private enjoyment of the applicant and the family, and that's stated within the report on page 29. So at no point when we've looked at this has it ever been mentioned as being an office, and in any case, whether it's an office, summer house or a storage facility for the applicant, it doesn't really change the view that we've taken that it's having a detrimental impact on the street scene and is harmful to the street scene.
Councillor Spencer.
Again, I come back to the reason for refusal is unacceptable impact due to its jarring appearance in inverted commas, as the planners think. So, therefore, potentially, if its appearance was altered and a condition was added for that, and maybe screening, like Councillor Reed has mentioned before, was also added, as the applicant has suggested he would do, would that therefore remove the jarring and the unacceptability of the impact on the street scene, because it wouldn't be able to be seen because of any kind of screening, and the materials will have been altered slightly or the colour changed to get rid of this jarring.
We have to consider what it looks like now.
Yes, but we can add in conditions.
If you're minded to approve, then we could condition that there is a change in colourways.
That would be my thought.
Would there be a condition?
Yeah.
We could add condition, but I still don't think that takes away from the fact that it is an outbuilding in a front garden in a prominent position. It would need a lot of screening to completely hide an outbuilding of that size. I'm not quite sure what could be done in terms of the colour and external materials that might make it more acceptable.
Right, so I think the last I remember was Councillor Roy James proposing approval. And did anyone second that?
No.
No one seconded that.
Yes, I'll second.
You're going to second that for approval. As it stands
conditions.
With conditions.
What are the conditions?
Conditions would be.
Hedge rendered. I don't know.
I can paint it, I can hedge, I can do whatever colour you want. That's enough.
Thank you.
So, I mean, sometimes you have a condition that says this to liaise with the council as to the treatment of the colours.
There are sometimes conditions that are drafted, worded, say, to be agreed with.
Yeah.
I think my concern at the moment is, you know, whether it's that colour or a darker brown or whatever, is it an acceptable form of development in the front garden?
I think, there's a proposal that you know, I think we'll have to take the vote before that, but I think if there's a condition proposed on a potential change in colour has to be agreed with officers. And are you saying screening as well, are you, as a condition or not? Is that not what you said?
Just the colour change.
You want a colour change or something like that? It's not quite so, as you say, jarring. I'm trying to get outstanding in the...
Does the council...
Like a Wendy
so you could drive past it almost without...
Does Councillor Jones accept that as an amendment to the proposal? So, permit with an additional condition regarding colour scheme to be agreed by officers?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Hedging as well?
Sorry,
apologies. They haven't said that as an amendment yet. But
okay.
And a condition that the planning officers can remind the committee in 6 months' time if this happens again.
I'm sure you could make that request, but it would be a condition. So that's just proposal with that additional condition regarding colour scheme to be agreed with officers. So
yeah.
we'll ask the planning officers to draft the wording to be agreed with the chairman exactly, because we haven't got the wording set out. Right, yeah. Councillor Reid's got a hand.
Councillor Reid?
Yeah, just on colour changes. I mean, I've seen many front porch extensions in my own area that are quite substantial. And one of the things that people do is there's a whole sort of set of modern colours, if you like, that seem to make these things more acceptable now.
Grey seems to be the in colour,
exactly.
Doesn't it?
Grey is a new magnificent
grey, yeah.
Right, so we have that, we have the condition, so we don't take
the vote. So permit with that condition.
With that permission and with the hedging.
I'm not sure, hedging's not been agreed as my proposal.
Do you want condition hedging?
Can I just ask something? Is there any particular colour you feel?
Well, not
because you're asking us to
this
agree.
This side of the room might look a nice blue, but it may not, you know.
With white stripes.
I think what you're looking at is, if this is, if my memory serves me correctly, these are manufactured with pine as the predominant feature. Now, if you were to stain that in either mid or dark oak, then that would blend in perfectly.
I think it would need to be
alternatively, you've got a house next door, which is magnolia.
Yeah.
There's not a compounded magnolia.
Yes.
Councillor Spencer.
I would like to add, I'd only be minded to approve with an additional condition of screening as well. With the condition added that screening must be retained
yeah.
while that building is in place. That's the only way I'd be able to.
Yeah, I mean that's something like that you'd go with sort of landscaping condition, isn't it, Charlotte?
We can add a landscaping
like
condition, and we can word it that if it was to die or become diseased or whatever within a 5-year period, it would need to be retained. Need to be replaced and retained.
We need to check with Councillor James as proposer and Councillor James as seconder that they agree that additional condition on screen.
So that's a colour change to be
colour
agreed
change
and a landscaping condition
landscaping
to screen.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll kick that one around long enough. So we'll take a vote on it. Those in favour of the proposal to approve?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you very much. That's all the end of the planning. If you're excited enough to listen to the appeals, there you go, page 34.
They'll just circulate the minutes and we'll check that you took that about
Okay, so on page 34 we have notified appeals. If anyone has any particular comment there, perhaps on page 34?
Can't really comment on
no.
The last and income.
No.
Well, Chairman, as far as the first appeal is concerned, the Stafford Education and Enterprise, is that over now? Is it now going to be implemented, or is there a further stage in review?
Well, the appeal has been allowed, hasn't it?
Yes.
So I presume that's the end of the
that's
consultation
the end now,
process.
Is it?
So it's for the applicants now to
implement.
Press the button.
It's a judicial. We wanted a judicial review.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Legal.
So it has been publicised on the council's website. The council and planning department did take external independent advice on the matter, and they've been very firmly advised it's a no-go. There's no legal grounds for going to judicial review on it.
And that's been accepted?
I think there's no choice to accept it. I mean,
the council's accepted.
Not sure about emotional acceptance of everyone involved, but yes.
We can't do anything about it.
And so it's the usual question about implementation of planning permissions. Some people have planning permissions and they don't get round to implementing it, but I think what we know about the scheme, it's probably likely they will.
Yeah.
And can I clarify from a legal point, Chairman, sorry. My understanding is that to have a judicial review, to get one through, there has to be something wrong with the proceedings.
Not
the facts.
It has to be made a mistake in law, which doesn't appear there is any challenge on
that
basis.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. So page 35, anything there? Then we have all the background to the appeal decisions. Taking us right up to the end of the long and winding road. To page 74. Anyone, any comments to make? On any of those?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your input, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.